Yes, we're going to go straight into the word. How many of us know that Jesus loves us? Oh, wow, I didn't see. Your hands, I know. Like, what kind of a question is that? Guy, woman, what kind of a question? How can you ask me that question? I know, so put up both hands, put up both feet and say, I know. Like, I do know. Whoa. I know, I'm convinced. I know he loves me. I know he's a good daddy. He's my papa. Come on, people, are you feeling me? Yes. Are you? I know beyond a shadow of doubt that he loves me. That he's my daddy, that he cares for me. You know that scripture, for I know the plans that I have for you. What kind of plan is it? Come on. What does the Bible say? What kind of plan is it? A good plan. I know the plans that I have for you, Jeremiah 29:11. It's a good plan. Plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. To give you a hope and a future. To bring you to an expected end. You guys don't sound excited. I have a plan for you. Not me. I don't. I do not. I cannot. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. Come on, wave your hands and just be excited about the fact that God has a plan. He has a plan for all of our lives. The Bible says it's a good plan to give us a hope and a bright future, to bring us to an expected end. You know, so along the journey, stuff happens, yes? And how many of us sometimes, I'm sure all of us, but you just think, Lord, you have a good plan for my life. This doesn't look like a good plan. Have you been there? Yeah. I believe everyone's been there. Like this. Pourquoi? I've increased my knowledge of French. It used to be just qu'est-ce que c'est. I've moved up. New beginnings. Hallelujah. Pourquoi? Yeah. This doesn't look like a good plan. It doesn't line up. Qu'est-ce que c'est? You have a good plan for my life, and this is what is happening. How come? If we haven't been there, I mean, everyone has been there. It's either life just happens, okay? But the Bible still says that God says, Jeremiah 29:11, I have a plan for your life, plans to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. And so we all experience setbacks. Disappointments happen. Stuff just happens. That doesn't line up. And sometimes we kind of think, Lord, the plan that I have looks better than that one. Because if I had been doing stuff, I wouldn't have ended up here. Sometimes you think, like, okay, this is happening, but I wouldn't have planned for it to happen like this. Yeah? Yes. But God still has a plan for our life. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has a plan. It's a good plan. Amen. I'm going to read Psalms 46, verse 1 to 3. We're all going to read it together. 46, verse 1 to 3. And it says, God is our refuge. Come on, let's read together. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, say, I will not fear, even though the earth be removed, And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Go on, 3. Though its waters roar and be troubled. Though the mountains shake with its swell. Sela. What is Sela? Pause. Because of what? Even if the mountains, everything happens, why we will not be afraid. The very first verse, what does it say? God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. So especially when we're in trouble, God is with us. Amen. Say, God is with me. Especially in time of trouble. He's a very present help, the Bible says. Amen. So I just want to look at two women this morning. And I'm focusing on attitude. You know, so what are we like when adversity comes? How do we react? How do we behave? When the going gets really tough, when calamity happens, when disaster strikes, when it's all looking bad, how do we react? The Bible says in Proverbs 24:10, if we faint in the day of adversity, our strength is small. Amen. Lift up your hand and say, my strength is big. I will not faint in the day of adversity. Hallelujah. So I'm going to be looking at Naomi and Ruth. We know this story very well. So we're going to read from chapter 1, verse 1. It says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And we know what happened. I'm going to jump to it. Verse 2. There was a man named Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. Right? And then verse 3. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. So they moved, verse 2. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. There was a famine in the land, so they moved, right? They relocated because there was a famine. Then Naomi's husband died. And she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah and the other one was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her sons and her husband. I mean, who agrees that that was bad? I mean, complete, utter disaster. That was bad. Her husband died, and then her two sons died. That was absolutely terrible. We all agree, right? And so, verse 6 says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. So they moved from Bethlehem to Moab, right? Because there was food in Moab, okay? And then, obviously, the husband and sons died. But after the sons died, Naomi still stayed there. And then, when she heard that there was food back in Judah, Bethlehem, she decided she was going back. So she was going back. She had lost all, but also there was food. So let me go back to where I'm coming from. You know what? Sometimes in life, stuff just happens. You know, it's all negative. It's all bad. But sometimes it takes that for us to be relocated to where we need to be. Amen? Because if we go through the story, we know the story. Really and truly, Naomi needed to be in Bethlehem. Our blessing was in Bethlehem. Amen? Stay with me. We're going somewhere. So we know the story. So her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, wanted to come with her. You know, the Bible says they clung to her. They wanted to come to her. And verse 8, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them and they lifted up their voices and they wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. So, who was responsible for Naomi's disaster as far as Naomi was concerned? God. He said, the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. God is against me completely. He's responsible for all the bad things that happened to us. Sometimes when stuff happens, if we're not careful, we blame the Lord. We think God did this. He folded his hands and did nothing, or he actually killed them all. So we have to really be careful how we respond. So we all know what happened. They lifted up their voices and wept. And we know that Orpah kissed her mother-in-law bye-bye. But Ruth, verse 16, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and so more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Wow. That's not your husband. It's only to God that you make that kind of vow, till death do us part. But that was what Ruth was saying here. And so when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. So let me just say that our future is usually wrapped in how we see the things that happen to us. Our future. So we can see something as a setback, or we can see it as a setup. We have a choice. But we'll see how Naomi saw things right now. Okay. So Naomi, I believe, allowed herself to be so consumed by the bitterness of what happened to her. I mean, it was clear. The things that happened to her were horrible. But she was so consumed by it. She blamed God. And then she lost all hope. Completely. She was completely hopeless. I mean, verse 12 clearly says it. If I should say I have hope, I don't have any. Like, I don't see how God can turn around this situation. It's completely gone. She lost all hope. And then Naomi was pushing away the very thing, the very key to her breakthrough, the treasure that was going to turn her life around. She was pushing it away. It was Orpah and Naomi and Ruth. And Ruth clung onto her. And she was saying, look, Orpah has gone. You two go. Because sometimes when stuff happens to us, look, no matter what we lose, if we lose everything, God forbid, the one thing that we need for our breakthrough, we will never lose. So what is of the utmost importance to us, we will never lose. What God is going to use to turn around our lives, we will never lose. What God is going to use to bring the breakthrough, we will never lose. The enemy cannot steal it away from us. God will preserve it. And God is also good. He's faithful, he's merciful, he's loving, he's kind. That in spite of ourselves, he will still preserve that thing. What if after Naomi had cajoled Ruth, what if Ruth now said, actually, it's true. Look, Naomi was saying to her, God has done this to me. Yeah? Ruth turned around and said, don't, I'm not leaving you. Right? And she said, your God shall be my God. How? No. Naomi had just said to her, my God is wicked. My God is evil. My God caused my husband and my kids to die. My God has dealt harshly with me. My God. That wasn't a good testimony about God. But Ruth said, your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. So I want to say that Naomi was never like that initially. Because I believe, because what would have, what was it about Naomi that attracted her daughters-in-law to want to come with her? Look, mothers-in-law. Usually mothers-in-law. I remember growing up, I used to say that as for me, I'm going to marry an orphan. He would have no father, he would have no mother, he would have no siblings. You know, the parents will be dead. He will be an only child. All the siblings will be dead. Thank God we're not on Facebook. Hallelujah. That was my heart's desire always. And it was based on the experience I saw of my mom. Our in-laws terrorized her. Our mother-in-law, her father-in-law was dead. But her sisters-in-law, so all my life was like, only child, no parents, dead. We all know about mothers-in-law. Some mothers. Look, to the glory, you know, God sometimes knows us and he doesn't give us what we ask for. I have an amazing mother-in-law, father-in-law, he's dead now. The siblings are completely, absolutely amazing. I have. So God turned around, I mean, completely. My in-laws my husband is not here, so it's not as if, amazing. So God didn't answer that prayer, but generally, mothers-in-law, they're the witch, but what was it about Naomi that her daughters-in-law wanted to go with her? Think about it. These daughters-in-law were Moabite women, so they were idol worshippers, but obviously she took them in, took them as her daughters, she loved them, and she must have demonstrated God before them. They must have seen something. For Ruth to say, your God, I know disaster has happened to you now. I know your husband's dead, your sons are dead, but the God that you used to call on when I first met you. Remember, they were there for 10 years. Ruth was married, I think, for 10 years. It says they lived there for 10 years. So she saw Naomi before and after. So she saw the witness of God. But then disaster struck. And then Naomi, you know, started. But Ruth just decided that I am not going to be moved by how you are now, because I know that you're allowing circumstances to dictate what you're saying. You're allowing circumstances and situations to define you. You're allowing circumstances. We must never allow. You know, our God is a God who makes a way where there seems to be no way. He's a God of exits. He will make a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says it. No temptation. He would make a way for you to escape. There is always a way out. Say it right now. Say, there is always a way out. No matter how dark, no matter how bad, God will make a way. And the thing is, if we're so consumed by what has happened, we will not see what God is about to do. Isaiah 43:18-19 says, forget the former things. Behold, I am doing something new. You know, and he says, can you not know it? Can you not see it? You can't see it if you're consumed with the past. And then he goes on to say that, behold, I will do anything. Now you shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness. So whatever wilderness situation you are going through right now, the Lord will make a way in the wilderness. Just say, he will make a way. So if you have a setback or disappointment or something, it could be your family, it could be a child, it could be your job, it could be your business, it could be your marriage. Listen, it doesn't matter what it is. God is more than able. Look, the worst thing really that can happen is death. So Naomi lost her husband and she lost her two sons. You would wonder, how is God going to redeem that situation? God has a way. Say, God has a way. Always has a way. Because he has a good plan. All the time. He has a good plan. So, like I said, Naomi was so blinded, she couldn't see that the treasure that she needed was right with her. And then the confession of Mama was so lame. It was so negative. You know, when she went back to Bethlehem, verse 20, it says that, so when she arrived in Bethlehem, I'm going to read from 19. It says, now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that the city was excited because of them. Why was the city excited because of them? Naomi must have been a good woman. That, oh, like, look at this witch, she's come back. No, that wasn't the response. It was like, oh my gosh, they were all excited to see her. And then look at her response. But she said to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Why? Naomi pleasant. And now he said, no. That was me in the past. I am no longer pleasant. My life is no longer pleasant. Call me Mara, bitter. My life now is bitter. And so what you're saying is, oh, because situations right now are bitter, it is permanent. Lift up your hand and say, my situation is not permanent. God is going to turn it around in the name of Jesus. She was saying, call me Mara. Speak it over my life. Declare it all the time. Every time you see me, call me Mara. Bitter, bitter, bitter. So you're here right now and you're declaring that that's how it's going to be in the future. And you're saying, don't call me. So let's watch what we say. And then she went on and said, verse 21, I went out full. The Lord has brought me home again empty. Oh my God. I went out full. The Lord has brought me empty. But when she went back, did she have anyone or anything with her? Who did she have with her? She had Ruth. She was not empty. Look, she had Ruth with her. Ruth was with her. I mean, think about the love, the commitment, the devotion of Ruth. One person. Like, where you go, I will go. Your God, like, I'm clinging on to you. Auntie Pearl, try and move. No, stand. You stand, walk away. Walk. See if you can walk. Walk. Your God will be my God. I am going with you. You know? So, you think about Ruth. Did Ruth's husband die? Was she a widow? Just like Naomi. So how come her attitude wasn't the same as Naomi? She was a young widow. She had been with Mahlon 10 years. She didn't have a child. So what was the difference? Attitude. Who do you think? Remember, Naomi was an idol worshiper. Who taught her that? Who taught her? I believe Naomi taught her in the good times that don't be moved by what you see, what you hear, but by the word of God. And then the commitment that she had, where did she get it from? I will go with you wherever. But here is Naomi saying, I went out full and back empty. See, Ruth was with her when she was making that confession. If I was Ruth, really? You're empty. I'm here standing with you. Like you have rightly said, Naomi, there is nothing of value in you. You have a widow. You cannot have any more children. Even if you had any child right now, am I going to wait? What have you got to offer me? You're poor. You have nothing to offer me. And I followed you because I love you. I'm devoted. I'm committed to you. And I'm going to be slaving away, working to take care of you. Because if you read the story, now Ruth was the one working and taking care of. And then you're here. Even you're not even talking about me behind my back. You're saying it right in front of me that I've come back empty. I'm nothing to you, eh? Seriously. But Ruth refused to be offended or to be resentful, or she, you know, so thank you. In saying that, look, once we've made up our minds and we're committed to something, someone, sometimes they go through stuff. And as human beings, sometimes we react in foolish ways. You keep to what you have made up in your mind to do. Because she said she came back empty. But the breakthrough was in what she thought was nothing. So lift up your hand right now. The Bible says, do not despise the days of little beginnings. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for every time that I have despised the little things that you have given to me. Open my eyes to see the value of what I have, that I will not despise it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So, you know, the Bible says about Ruth, when she got there, she was taking care of her mother-in-law. She went, she happened to have gone into the field of Boaz, and she was slaving away, working, getting food for herself and her mother-in-law to eat. And you know what? What we do in secret places, our character, God always rewards. Slap your neighbor and say, God rewards good character. He does. All the time. All the time. So, Ruth chapter 2, verse 5. When Boaz saw her, said to the servant, whose young woman is this? So, Boaz saw her and said, who amongst the servants, who is this? And then, I'm going to jump to verse 11. And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. Because Ruth sacrificed a lot. She left everything like Abraham and worked with Naomi. But I believe she knew that her destiny too was connected to Naomi. That's another thing we need to know. You know, connected, our destiny, who are we connected to? And you know, when you're connected to someone, you know it in your heart. Sometimes that person doesn't know, and they push you away. It's up to you to be like Ruth. I don't care. You can say what you like. I'm sticking with you. Amen? So I think she really knew. Said, look, but another thing about Ruth was, her reputation went ahead of her. Boaz said, it has been fully reported to me. I want to ask us all now, what are people saying about you behind your back? What? Because sometimes what they say, you know, sometimes there's bad backbiting that's negative. Forget that. But there's also backbiting that's positive, because they were talking about Ruth behind her back to Boaz, but what they could see about her were all good reports. Amen. Say, lift up your hand and say, good reports about my life will go ahead of me in the name of Jesus. So, listen, Ruth didn't just say with words. Her actions backed her words. So I want to ask us again, what you're doing backing what you're saying? So, you're doing and you're saying. So what is your doing saying? What is our doing saying? The Bible says faith without works is dead. What is our doing saying? So whatever it is we're saying must be matching what we're doing. We can't just say it. Amen? So now we go ahead and we see the turnaround. Because Ruth was faithful, she was diligent, she was plowing in the field, and we saw that it was a total setup. So the way Ruth reacted to the whole situation, her attitude was different from Naomi's attitude. Completely different. Abs come and Antipel come. So what Naomi saw as a complete setback. Naomi, as far as she was concerned, was a setback. Her life was what had happened was a setback. Everything she confessed, the way she acted, she just felt it was a complete setback, and she couldn't see a way out. The way Ruth saw it was different. Ruth saw it as a setup. Her attitude and everything. And believe it, it was both of them were going through similar things. They were both widowed. She was barren. Not had children, and she had lost her children. So widowed and no children, both of them. The way she saw it and the way she saw it was different. So, setback, set up. You know, God is a God. Romans 8:28 says, He works all things together for our good. All I did, this is the same photo. All I did on the computer was, I flipped it on his head. So that, I just turned it this way. Yeah? And then I used, you know, the blood of Jesus Christ. He wipes away. He makes you white as snow. I used the blood of Jesus to wipe away that setback in the name of Jesus. White as snow. And I wrote with red, blood of Jesus. It is a setup in the name of Jesus. So declare right now, every setback in my life is a setup for my comeback in the name of Jesus. I declare that my attitude will be like that of Christ. And I know that my God will make a way for me in the name of Jesus. So every setback is a setup. Hallelujah. Please rise to your feet. Thank you. Hallelujah. Rise to your feet. So no matter what you're going through right now, just know. Just right now, just picture in your heart, what is it that you think is a setback? What is it that is a setback? So if you're not going through now, maybe you're coming out of it. But if you're not even going through or coming out of it, just know that whenever it comes, because it will come. Just know that my attitude has to line up with the word of God. So lift up your hands right now. And just say, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for the way you will turn around every setback that I have experienced, every setback that I am experiencing right now, every setback that I will experience in the future. I am confident of the fact that you will turn it around. It will be a setup. My test will become testimonies to the glory of your name. Father, we just want to thank you. Lord, we bless your name. Jehovah God, we just give you honor, praise, and glory for how far you have brought us. Thank you, God, that year of new beginnings, you are doing something new. Lord, we thank you for the new things that you're doing. And Lord, even the new things that you're doing, Lord, you're changing our attitudes, oh God. You're changing our character, oh God, so that we will be more like Christ. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen.